Hi, I'm Paul from Logical Thinking on PBSRadio.com. Today I'm talking to Bill Richards, the author of a great book. Bill, why don't you tell us about it?
I'm the author of a book called Credit is Life, and I touch on all the issues that are not taught in school about credit and how people end up with bad credit before they even know what it is, and educate people on not only credit, but, you know, what lenders look for when providing or looking to approve a loan, whether it's on a credit card, an automobile, a home. I talk about, you know, what balance to limit ratios are, you know, the three credit reporting agencies, how a credit score is derived, what debt to income is co-signing good or bad. All that stuff.
You know, I've got something that you need to look into. You need to define a specific program on how people can position themselves to get debt free. Because a lot of the stuff that you talk about has value because they need to be able, they need to know enough about the credit and credit score and that. So they can pump up their credit score and they can get lower interest rates, cost them less money.
Right.
They're paying more on the principal.
Right. That's all in my book. It's all in there. You know, basically, in the book, it talks about how to use the banks and stop letting them use you. You know, the compound interest effect, how to make simple interest work in your favor, why it's important to pay yourself first every month. I mean, all that stuff is in the book, and it's written very simply. It's very straightforward, and it's actually, you know, I've been working on it for a long time, and I'm really excited to share it with people because I've helped thousands of people over the last 20 years, you know, car dealers, mortgage companies, consumers understand the pitfalls of credit and how to turn the tables in their favor to get a leg up with respect to their debt. Whether they have a zero credit score, a 499 or a 750 credit score, it doesn't matter. The information that I provide people is invaluable, and it's actually amazing. I'm very blessed to share it. In fact, Paul, my mission is really simple. It's helping people rebuild credit while reaching their financial goals. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, are you there still, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here. Do you know what affected my credit most in my life?
Probably one of the big three.
Yeah, divorce, job loss, health, lack of knowledge. Which one?
I got married.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, well, you know, and again, you know, what happens is we get into a cycle of the blame game, too. You know, I mean, how many people I've talked to that blame it on, you know, credit is you. You own it. And regardless of how you got there, until you take ownership of it, you're never going to get over that hurdle. And that's what I teach people is that so many times, you know, my wife, hey, listen, you're talking to Lone Wrangler here. I actually refinanced my home three times for my ex-wife while I was still married to the tune of $60,000 each time. So you're talking to a guy that not only understands credit and life and how they play together, but you're talking to a guy that fell on hard times, filed bankruptcy, and then rebuilt everything from the ground up. So I've been there, I've done it, and I'm the guy to help you.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
What's the name of the book?
Credit is Life.
It's life.
In the process. It's in the process of being published, and the website is real simple, Rick. It's LoneWrangler.com, and that's almost done. And it's going to be up here very shortly. We're just working on the final parts of it. We're waiting for the publisher to get the book done and printed. And the book is just going to be very affordable. It's $10, and it's a phenomenal. And I do consulting. I do speaking. My Loan Wrangler site is going to have a loan application for people that want to get loans for right now for automobiles. That's an industry that's near and dear to my heart, and I've been very blessed in that industry for many years. So
yeah, but
regardless of how you got there, you know, it's just taking ownership of it, ownership of your credit, and not putting the blinders on, not letting any excuses get in your way from just walking it out, taking one step at a time every day. Yeah. And that's the key to success. And not letting the banks use you anymore. Put an end to it and outsmart the banks, like Paul said. Outsmarting the banks, it takes a little bit of time, but I guarantee you, with my proven recipe for success, you will have a secure financial future.
There's a lot of people that credit has gotten away from them, and their best bet is to actually understand credit well enough so they can get out of it. You know, because they're in a lot better position being debt free to know exactly how much they're to know exactly what their net worth is, and they know that they don't have to worry about a job loss because they're self-sufficient, they're independent. And so many people, I mean they're like Teresa, you know, and she was wonderful, but she really didn't understand credit at all. She got a line of credit, and the reason she got the line of credit was so she could pay down her revolving debt. Her revolving debt was around 16-18%. She got a line of credit at the bank for 23% to pay down 18% cards.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the other pitfall that people, the trap that we get into is revolving debt is phenomenal if you use the bank. And where people get into trouble is they charge, if let's say that they have a $1,000 limit. What I teach is incredible. It's so simple. It's just amazing. But what happens is you have a $1,000 limit, and then you charge up to that $1,000 and you make your minimum payment, and you're going to be paying on that credit card for 25 years to get the $1,000 paid off because of what you said, Paul, the effective APR. And that's where simple interest really plays a role. You know, compound interest, Einstein said it. I didn't invent it, but compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it wins, and he who doesn't loses. So, you know, ultimately, you know, and then the other thing is people get into the perpetual rut of, you know, opening another card, transferring balances and all that. Well, that's a good thing to do for a zero interest for 24 months if you have the credit to do that. But then making it, you know, making a plan, whether it's to get a second job and just attack that debt with all your heart and all your soul, because it's evil. And why would you pay that, you know, that thousands of dollars of interest went to a credit card company when you could be putting it in your sock drawer or buying precious metals such as silver, right? I mean, we know silver's not going away. It's down. It has been down now for a while. And that's good, because we know one thing for sure, as our US dollar diminishes in value from what they do as far as printing money out of control and putting a bigger burden on the taxpayers, because that's what they're doing. I think now every person in the United States is saddled with like $250,000 in debt. Because the national debt, the $33 trillion, is tied to every household, every human in the United, every citizen of the United States. So bottom line is, use the banks. Don't let them use. It's really simple. Stop playing the blame game. You know, so many people get a bank account and they tell me, oh, you know, I stopped using, you know, I mean, and then what they do is they write a bunch of checks. They find their account in deficit. They don't balance their account. The bank closes their account, And then they go to apply for credit, and they have subprime credit, right? And then they tell me, oh, I don't trust banks. I only pay cash now. My bank screwed me over. Well, it's just knowing problems and doing problems, right? I mean, we're human. And, you know, like my plumber, I'm not going to – I don't know how to – I mean, I actually do know a few things about plumbing, but or electrical or whatever. You know, we all have our God-given skill sets and our talents, right? And so, you know, sharing that knowledge with people freely is the key to success and happiness in life. And the more you give, the more you receive. And we all have emotions, right? And if every day your emotions are from a standpoint of stress, negativity, the world's against me, all that, that's what you're going to get. So when you figure out how to control your emotions and say, and tell yourself and program your mind, hey, I'm full of love. I'm full of happiness. I'm full of joy. I'm full of bliss. I have a positive act. I have positive emotions. I have loving emotions. I have successful emotions in my life. You start to change. You can't turn a ship on a dime, just like you can't fix your credit overnight. But I guarantee you, you follow my proven principles, and you're going to win. You're going to win faster than you think, and it's going to happen. You know, so many times I've given out loans to people, Paul and Rick, where I actually was a lender for 7 years, loaned out millions of dollars to people with bad credit. And the one thing I'd always tell them, hey, use the compound interest effect. And I still tell them to this day, you know, you have a $440 payment principal and interest on that loan, on that car, and pay $500 a month. Pay an extra $56 a month on that loan, and that it goes anything over that minimal payment, principal and interest, goes directly to the principal balance of the loan. So you're A, shortening the term of that 60-month loan, and B, lowering that interest rate from 18% to 14% or whatever. Now, if you're in a position to pay $100 more a month, bang, that's $1,200 a year. Believe me, it adds up fast. And now you're using that. You can have a 499 credit score with 23% interest on a car loan and use the bank. So, and, you know, you got the loan. Who cares about what the rate is? Now let the compound interest concept take hold. And you pay that extra money every month, $40, $50, whatever. Well, I can't. It's not in my budget. Well, go get a second job. Let's do this. Yes. We can do it. Be strong. Be positive. Have good, positive, loving emotions. And love yourself first. Take responsibility for yourself. Don't let anybody get in your way. And then the people around you are going to be amazed, and they're going to see something happen in your life. And they're going to say, wow, I want to be that. I want part of that. What's going on in Rick's world or Bob's world or Mr. Jones's world, whoever, that's different? The other thing that I teach is be really picky on who you surround yourself with. You know, if you think about it, we all have circles, right? We have that, people talk about, oh, I have an inner circle, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you've got an inner circle full of losers, guess what? Yeah. And you might feel good because you're the winner of your loser circle, but you're still a loser. So you have to reach outside people that you respect and aspire to be and want to learn from and want to grow with. And pretty soon you fire those people. You might even love some of them. And maybe they're family members. They can still be part of your circle, but they're not going to be the people that you're aspiring to hang around with, and because you're going to be stuck in a perpetual rut of despair, and negativity, and all the bad emotions that come along with people that don't seek to love and to give of themselves to better their lives and make the people that they love in their immediate circle better.
Oh no, we're all about that. We're all about that because the group that you're talking to is actually the Radio Ranch group, and you've been on the show. You've heard what's talked about and how every single one of us.
Is this being recorded, Paul?
No. No, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. Yeah, Studio C's recording it. But we're surrounded by we're the black sheep, and we're surrounded by white sheep, except for our buddy Brent, he was.
Yeah, I'm a white sheep.
Yeah, he's a white sheep of the family.
Nice to meet you.
We're surrounded by people that don't understand what happened to the banking system, what happened to the financial system. And you know what? That debt you were talking about, debt, that's really not our debt. That was created by them. That was because every single dollar the Federal Reserve puts in circulation has an interest applied to it. And that interest is never, ever paid because you pay that debt with debt instruments that have additional interest on them. So it's a double-edged sword and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
So. Yeah, and guess what happens? Every time they print more dollars that we never see as a society for the betterment of society and the people, we the people, we don't see it.
No,
it goes to all the highfalutins that don't care about us. And you know, don't kid yourself. If you think for one second that they're not trying to kill this country, the greatest country, the leader of the free world, the leader of the world, I would argue, without a shot being fired, think again, because they're doing it monetarily on steroids. It's been happening for 3 decades minimum, but the last 5 years, they've turned the turbojets on, and they're coming after us. They want us to be just like Venezuela. They want us to be happy and have nothing in our lives and, you know, never be able to aspire to even own a home.
No, they've already done that.
That's why you got to, well, it's still not too late. I still believe
Well, no, they've already done that. Well, wait a minute. When Klaus Schwab said you will have nothing and you will be happy, guess what? If you're a citizen of the United States and you register your property, you don't own your property, well, you turn the ownership over to them.
Sure, but still. Still, we right. You own nothing. Right now, you don't. They can come in eminent domain your house and turn it into a turnip farm if they want it. I get that, Paul.
Yeah.
But the American dream is still alive, and there's more people. There's more of us than there are of them. And if we realize that, we can win, and we can make it so that we still have more money in our checkbook at the end of the month or our sock drawer or wherever we put it.
Right.
So, and of course, the key thing is using the bank, not letting the bank use you. Pay down your debt, get a second job, pay more than your minimum payment on your installment loans, and pay more than your minimum payment on your revolving debt too. And regardless of how you got there, even if you, so many people, you know, I look at it every day when I look at credit reports. It's like, oh man, there's nowhere to go. I'm like, hey, Bob, this is not a mountain. It's a molehill. This is a speed bump. Who cares if you got 40 G's in charge off credit cards and because you lost your job or whatever? Bottom line is, this is nothing. You can do this. In fact, I believe that's why we still have the ability to file bankruptcy in this country, because it is a get out of jail free card. And for some people, it makes sense. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not, consult a bankruptcy attorney, but you know, if you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you're just in over your head, start fresh, you know. I also see people like I'm working with some people right now. It's like, they got into a reorganization at Chapter 13. I'm like, did you, who advised you to do that? Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, but they're trying to get a car loan from me, and I can get a car loan for people in a Chapter 13. But the bottom line is, it's like, why in the, what, well, the lawyer, well, okay, so did you not qualify because of an income standpoint for a Chapter 7, Mr. Jones? What's that? I'm like, well, Chapter 7 is where you flush all your debt. If you have an open auto loan, you can reaffirm it. In some cases, the lender will allow you to do that. Some won't. But you flush it all, and within 60 days, you can start like a brand new baby with a zero credit score and do it right. And as long as you're in that mindset, sometimes that's a good place to start.
Right, but from the standpoint of the company.
But even if you don't file. But even if you don't file bankruptcy, Paul, you know, even if you have 40 G's in charge-off debt, right? Well, what happens? Time is going to happen to us, right? And when time happens, what happens? It's either going to be positive or it's going to be negative, right? So go get a prepaid credit card you pay $8 a month for. To have people say, well, I'm not going to pay. Dude, you know what? After my bankruptcy, I got a prepaid credit, I think it's called Credit One card. I still pay $8.49. I have phenomenal credit right now, okay? I still keep that trade line open because it's been open now for 15 years. And I pay $8 a month for their monthly fee. But guess what? A trade line is considered a baby until it's 36 months old, okay? Once a trade line hits 36 months, it's a rock star. And when it hits 10 years, it's a blazer, okay? So don't close an open revolving trade line if you can help it. So many people, I'm like, why did you close those three credit cards? Oh, I didn't use them. Okay, well, there's knowing problems and doing problems. And guess what? You didn't know. But today you're gonna. Don't close it. Put it in your file cabinet and use it once a year so the lender doesn't, the credit card company doesn't shut you off. Be smart. Use the banks. Don't let the banks use you, Mr. Jones. So there's so many things that I love to teach people that I take for granted. You know, I'm the plumber. I'm the puzzle master when it comes to credit, finance. And I love to share with people, and I love to teach people. I love to train people. And that's why, quite frankly, Credit is Life, my book, is coming out. And credit is your life. And it follows you around for as long as you're alive. So understanding it and the pitfalls and how to be a rock star is basically what I vote for, and that's what I teach everybody that will listen.
And part of the stuff in your book, if I get this correctly, part of your stuff in your book is understanding credit well enough so even if you do have a bunch of charge-offs or you're upside down, you will have the skill set necessary to be able to make like a settlement agreement on some accounts that are upside down. So you still maintain accountability because you were talking about accountability early on. I remember that word.
Yeah. Right. And guess what, Paul? Chapter 7, that's what it's there for. Okay. Do I say go file a Chapter 7 just because you can? No. Don't take it lightly. It's going to be there forever. Older charged off debt, 40 grand. Don't pay it. I didn't say don't pay it. But what I did say is you can move forward today and make a decision to go get a new revolving account, even if you pay a minimum monthly fee, to have it. Because time's going to happen, and before you know it, it's going to be a 36-month-old trade line, and it's going to be a rock star for you. Now, as far as what you said with respect to that, what I have done with people, I had a customer, previous customer, and his son, you know, we all have kids in band, and we co-signed for a tuba at the music place, right? Guess what? Not only did the kid quit band, but he pawned the tuba. Now, guess what? There's $1,700 on his credit as a charge-off. And I said, Jake, here's the deal. Here's what you tell him. And I gave him the script. I told him exactly. And that trade line was 4 years old. They were still reporting a charge-off for $1,700 on a tuba that was pawned by his son that he kicked out. And guess what? We settled it for $500 in less than 30 seconds. And then the other thing that I teach is, that 40 G's, 20 cents on the dollar. Now all of a sudden it's an $8,000 speed bump instead of a $40,000 mountain. You know, so, you know, as far as technique and timing, it's all there. I have it. I love to teach it. And there's nothing wrong with settling your debt, but being smart about it. And here's a way to be smart about it. So what I told Jake was, tell the guy at the music place that, okay, do you think we started at 500 on the 17? No, we started at 200, right? I told him to go to 7. We got it for 5. And then I instructed him to have the music place send him over an email stating their conversation and that they would delete the trade line as though it never was there. So it's not a paid charge off. Now that trade line's gone, and they have the power to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only delete the trade line, Paul, but guess what? Tell in writing that they will be reporting it in their next reporting back cycle, which is it's every 30 days. So he knew that their reporting cycle was 17 days or whatever. By that time, that trade line was gone, like it never existed. So many times people work with a credit card company that pays something off, and guess what happens? The credit card company takes their payment, and they don't even try to settle it.
Right.
$2,000, it's a 4-year-old trade line, and they don't even try to sell it. Why? Because there's knowing problems and doing problems. People don't know, and they're scared. And that's where I come in. I'm an authority. I'm a puzzle master. Every person's profile is different. It's a puzzle. So you settle it, and what, Paul? You settle the debt. You have proof that it's settled. You have it. You pay for deletion. And so many people have $2,000 in debt, they don't even try to settle it, they pay it off, and guess what? It's a double negative, because not only did they pay that old debt off, which they owe, they screwed up, they own it, you should pay the $2,000. But if it's an older trade line, they don't want to keep reporting it, it costs them money every month to report your bad debt. So, what, bottom line is, they'll pay that $2,000, and that trade line will show, it'll show from unpaid to a paid charge-off on their credit for several years to come. I think it's 10 years now, or 7. I think it's,
I think it's 7.
After it's settled, they can report it. They can report it for 7 years. So why would anybody in their right mind, because they don't know, this is what I'm saying, why would anybody in their right mind settle a revolving charge-off without demanding that the creditor deletes the trade line? Okay, right. Common sense to me.
Then it goes away immediately.
I can swim across the ocean in 3 seconds in that world, and I take it for granted. And you know what? I love to help teach and train people the things that I take for granted. There's about 85 more hours of stuff where that comes from. And I'm really honored.
Okay, I don't think we have.
I'm really honored to be online with you today, Paul.
You're helping me because Google Meet has actually done really, really well. So,
well, you know, the thing is this is like the pre-launch to the pre-launch to the pre-launch of LoneWrangler.com, right? Credit is Life, which is going to be available on that website shortly.
Yeah.
And then not to mention my auto loan near me platform that I'm launching for people with subprime credit. I've loaned out millions of dollars to the very market that my book serves. And so I get it. I understand it. And if I tell customers, if I can't figure out a way to get you approved, nobody can. No break, just fact. The other thing that's important is having great relationships with your lenders, which I do. And I have, and I covet. I won't take somebody that I catch lying to me. If you're going to lie to me about your job time, you're going to be a headache for the lender I put you with. Why in God's green earth would I do that and possibly affect my relationship with my bank? Not doing it.
Right.
So my book talks about integrity, accountability, being honorable. What is a handshake? Think about it. 100 years ago, that's all we had, right?
Yes.
It's a handshake. You were a rancher, you were a farmer, and you had a bad crop. You go to the mill and you say, "Hey, Bob, my crop sucks, but I need flour for the winter to feed my family." And they shook hands, and guess what? That rancher would be run out of town if he didn't honor his word that next harvest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it would.
And that's what I teach. I teach about handshakes. I teach about, taking responsibility, holding yourself accountable. Don't blame other people. Be responsible for yourself. Look at who you surround yourself with, your inner circle. Take it serious. It's not a joke. And just love, because love conquers all. And when you care, and you truly love, you win every time.
Yep, for sure.
Riddle me this.
All right. Is there any questions out there in the audience?
Yes. Brent. I'm dishonorable, and so you're right up front. But thing is I have something that's been following me for about 8 years. When's that going to drop off?
Okay, good, really good question. How long? Okay, so let me just ask you this real quick. It depends on what type of a trade line it is.
One was, I think it was that credit one card or capital one. As one is that, and another is that what is that? Something care card. It's mainly for medical.
Synchrony Bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And everything's under $7,000.
Okay. Well, you don't even have a speed bump, bro. I can't wait for you to buy my book. So that's a really good question. How long does it stay on my credit report, right? So positive information stays on your credit report indefinitely. However, information about an account will cycle off your report if no new information is reported about it for 7 years, which means if they're still reporting, it can stay on there indefinitely. Now, most negative information remains for up to 7 years, Brent. Bankruptcies can remain on your credit report for up to 10 years as mandated by the federal law. So, and like other public record information can remain for up to 15 years. And now, the other thing I haven't touched on is inquiries. Inquiries stay on your credit report for up to 2 years. You know, so what I would say is your Credit One and Care Credit, Synchrony Bank, dude, that's a no-brainer. How old are those trade lines and how many years were they charged off, Brent?
2014 was the last time I used it. 2015 was when I last talked to a one of those companies, a bill collector companies.
Sure. Okay. They total $7,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take an example. So let's just say it's one card, and you can do this with both. I'm just going to use simple math here for you. Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you be proactive. Operate from a standpoint of love. Do a little inspect it. You know, have to be kind of like an investigator. Find out, you know, who's got the debt, and then contact them and say, hey, now this is getting out there, but you know, you may have talked to a family member that suggested bankruptcy. You may have talked to a lawyer. Regardless of what you did, you can tell them that, you know what, instead of filing bankruptcy and just getting rid of this, I was irresponsible. I fell on hard times, whatever. I was playing the blame game, whatever it is. But I own that debt, and instead of filing bankruptcy and getting rid of all of it, I can give you $1,000, but I've been told that you have to delete the trade line in order for me to get you the $1,000 to settle that debt. And guess what they're going to say?
They're going to tell you where to send the check.
Yeah, they're going to take it, dude. It's an 8-year-old trade line. Are you kidding me? That's dead money. I'd offer them $500, but make sure don't pay it unless they delete the trade line. And if you know, in some cases they won't, and then you just make a personal decision that it'll show as a paid charge off on your credit report for an indefinite amount of time, and it's an old enough trade line to where it really doesn't matter. And guess what? 70% of the people that will read my book can do it on their own just through my book. 30% of the people probably could use a professional credit repair company such as mine. But guess what? I still opt to give them the tools to do it on their own because it's a lot less expensive, and you're going to be able to put the money you pay for credit repair towards your debt, which is what you want to do. Now, so from that standpoint, you know.
So if they don't buy the settlement on account, okay, or they don't agree to just delete the credit or the trade line,
Hey, Brian. Yeah.
Can you reinitiate a deal? Okay, I'll give you $50 a month, and I'll give it to you every month. But because I don't like this charge off on my account, and I owe the debt. Yeah. I own the debt.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Once it, what? Yep. No. Really, it's really a good question. Really a good point, Paul. Once it's been sold to a third party, there is no getting that trade line back with Credit One or Synchrony Bank or whoever it is. A third party doesn't care. They don't have control. Even if they wanted to, they have no authority. Now, they might be able to do a settlement with you payment-wise monthly, but that trade line will never change. You have two options on that trade line. Three, never pay it, and then it just sits there and haunts you. Negotiate it and not get it deleted, but it'll show as paid, or negotiate it and negotiate in a fashion where it's paid, it shows that they just delete that it was never there. And that is your best option.
Get it deleted. What is the paid as agreed notation on a trade line that may stay on your report? If they notate it paid as agreed, if that's part of the deal, okay, I'll give you $50 a month or $100 a month, and I'll give it to you for 72 months. And at the end of 72 months, I expect this debt to go away, and I expect my report to say paid as agreed.
Yes, really good. So, and you can negotiate something like that, Paul.
But you have to negotiate with
up front, and who's to say, but you can't do it with Credit One. You have to do it with the third party.
Yeah, you have
and
to do to it say with the third party.
Who's going to say they're in business 72 months from now to report what they gave you in writing today? Nothing. But it's an option, right? So, you know, that is definitely something doable. But, instead of burying your head, and it's hard. Life's hard. Let's be honest. I mean, some days applying the 3G method is hard. Get up, get out of bed, and go to work. But bottom line is, your credit's going to follow you around for as long as you're alive, and for better or for worse. Why not make it better? Because you enjoy all the things that you know. You get your housing is more affordable. You get better insurance rates on your car. You get lower interest rates on your installment loans. Car loans, home loans, RV loans, boat loans, whatever you're doing. So, you know, making a decision and putting a line in the sand and say, hey, this is a 5-year plan. It's a 2-year plan. It's a 1-month plan. Whatever your financial situation is, I would do it now, because that $7,000 debt we spoke of, save up $1,000 and be ready. That $1,000 is going to that trade line. It's not going to the Dairy Queen. It's not going to Walmart. It's going. You have not sacrificed your ability to put food on your family's table. You save that $1,000, $100 a month for 10 months, whatever it is. You have $1,000. Money talks, BS walks. So when you call that lender and you settle, you offer them a settlement to do a pay for deletion for that trade line, boom, you can get it to them in a New York second, and that trade line will go away like it was never there. So that's my, you know, be prepared.
And they're not going to have a problem with deleting that trade line, because especially when it gets to the third lender, they paid pennies on the dollar to buy that paper. Their actual hard cost on that 7Gs is probably about $500. And they can actually get money and delete that trade line and still at least break even, if not make mm-hmm. some money. Because
that's a really good point. And guess what? So they paid $500 8 years ago. Every year they write that off. Right now, that's free debt to them. Mm-hmm. Over the 8 years that 7Gs has been there, they paid $500 for, or $1,000, or whatever they paid. They're internally, they've already taken the write-off on the loss. So basically, if a dollar comes in, it's a profit. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, on 7Gs, $700 would be where I'd start, 10%, you know. Start at 500, but you know, no, you know, if you have to go to a G, let's do it. Rock and roll, blow and go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I continue to do right now is I just maintain my girlfriend's creditworthiness, and I can operate with impunity.
Yeah. I tried that with my girlfriend. It didn't work because she was making decisions I wasn't weighing in on.
No, that's a really good point, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, my girlfriend had a zero credit score her whole life. I put her on two 15-year-old trade lines with, you know, $50,000 in limits with zero balances. What do you think her credit score is today?
8.
It's about 780. But the bottom line is, you know, helping somebody get a leg up is the key. So if your girlfriend has good credit, guess what you do? You have her put you on as an authorized user on your credit, and make sure that credit card reports to your credit. So if she's got a 40-month or a 5-year-old, 60-month trade line on a revolving account with a zero balance, or at least, you know, a low balance to limit, which I could talk about that for 5 hours, and we can later, that trade line is going to instantly benefit in your credit. So I would definitely look at something along those lines. Instead of just piggybacking on her, it's your money. Let it help your credit, you know. Again, you're using the bank, not letting them use you when you do that. So, and that authorized user account, credit cards love to do it. So sure that they report. You give them your Social Security number so they report to your credit report. Otherwise, it's not doing you any good, which right now, just piggybacking on your girl, that's great. But it's not helping you when you break up in 10 years. You helped her get a rock star, which you're happy to do from a love standpoint, because it's all about love, right? But you got to think about yourself too a little bit, right?
So what you're saying is that she can put him on as an authorized payer or whatever. An authorized user, and the credit card reports to both of their credit scores. It reports to both of their credit reports. It reports to hers and it reports to his. And then that aged trade line gets applied to his credit, which will offset the charge off that he's got.
I don't know about using that terminology, but in layman's terms, it's like taking instead of drinking one cup of coffee in the morning, you know, guzzling 12 cups in one shot.
Well,
and what happens is you be strategic about, you know, letting those AUs sit on your credit report for a minute, and then having a good strategy to go and obtain a revolving trade line for yourself or two or three, but then using my recipe for success to not screw up again, I guess, for lack of a better word. A lot of times too, it's the fastest way to rebuild credit, believe it or not, is to get a lender to believe in you in an installment loan, like a house or a car. It's easier to get a car loan, which now, because an installment loan is just that. Revolving debt is credit cards in layman's terms. Installment loan is a house, a car loan. And what you're agreeing to there is a definite time period for that loan to mature and be paid zero balance. So if you take a $10,000 loan out for 60 months, you pay $240 a month at 8% interest, the lender knows that loan is going to be paid in 60 months. They're not going to be able to borrow more against it like a revolving card, which raises your monthly payment. That payment is fixed, and I'm going to look at that for the 60 months. And then, so what if it's 23% interest on that $10,000 loan? Again, I'm teaching people how to use the banks, not let the banks use them, and not take it lightly. Be serious about it enough to where if they take on a $200 payment, they know doggone well they're not biting off more than they can chew, because they have another $100 in the sock. They're going to pay $300 on that 60-month $200 loan. They're going to bring that effective APR down to 14% from 20, and they're going to pay it off instead of 5 years. They're going to pay it off in 3 or 2.5. So that's compound interest. It's a simple interest loan, and that's what I teach people. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I mean, I'm just now going, you know, putting Lone Wrangler out there to the world. But so many times I've seen it where, you know, their lips are moving their lion, you know, just to get me to give them a loan, you know. I mean, when I give someone a loan, when I look at it, like there's a gal, she had a car that blew up, had a loan on, was still, her mom was paying on it, and she needed a car. Came to me, and I sat her and her mom down, and I talked to this young gal for an hour about credit before I would even let her drive the car that I had picked for them. And sweet as pie, everything else, I did the loan. I regretted it. She, with one of my lenders, I still have a phenomenal rock star score with this lender because I don't screw up very often. I did in this case. And she was constantly 2 months behind, and on the sixth month, thank God I put gap insurance on her car, she totaled the car, and gap paid off the insurance, and then gap kicked in, paid the loan in full so that it was shown as paid on her mom's credit because I put her mom on the loan again to co-sign, right? So, oh, big relief. Loan was paid, but guess what? The lender keeps an internal score. So, 3 months later, mom wants a vehicle. That loan's paid. I say, okay, you know, you got to save some dough down, you know. She had two G's down. I found the perfect vehicle, sport utility for her. And I'm like, I'm going to go back to this lender, you know, because they paid this loan off. Well, it was a turndown immediately. I called up my underwriter, who I have a good relationship. I'm like, what's going on, son? Well, bottom line is, you know, I said, you never reported this gal late. And he said, well, a lot of times we won't do that early in the loan process. It's an internal call on how we do things. And I said, you reported her as being on time, yet you're telling me she was 60 days down and a headache to get a hold of and to get a payment from? And he said, yeah. And he said, so quite frankly, we don't want to touch. We'll never touch her again. And as far as her mom, she's just along for the ride. I don't care. We can never approve a loan for her mother either. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, use the bank. Don't let the banks use you. Never get into a payment you know you can't afford. That's no matter what. I see it so many times. People bite off more than they can chew. And they, you know, why? Here's the other thing, Paul. Being in the mortgage industry for all these years, in the auto industry, in the lending industry, how many times I can't count on maybe one hand, how many times somebody goes and buys, why does somebody go buy a home without getting pre-approved? Can you answer me that? Well, I'm going to make it real simple. I'm going to tell you, because they have cash.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, people get pre-approved before a realtor will take them shopping, right? So why don't people get pre-approved for a car loan? I don't get it. Lack of knowledge? Because when you have a pre-approval on a loan, you're not walking blindly into to look at that Lexus that you just got to have to get bashed over your head like Beetle Bailey. Only 3 days later, realize after you come out from under the fog, you bit off a $600 payment when you went in thinking $300, but you got bamboozled and slugged so hard that you're still stinging from it. The contract's cashed. Guess what? You're an owner. So get pre-approved from a reputable dealer, one that you trust, preferably Lone Wrangler, because I am the king. I'm the puzzle master. Don't break this back, you know. And I'm getting, you know, as I roll out Lone Wrangler, you know, right now I usually have 5 to 6 orders at a time from previous customers. And so I tell my referrals, if you're in a hurry, I'm your wrong guy. You know, go somewhere else. But if you want it done right the first time, then just be ready because I'll be there for you and we'll make it happen. So getting pre-approved, paramount. Look for LoneWrangler.com. It's coming out. In fact, Paul and I were going over that a little while ago before we hopped on the air.
And the book is Credit is Life.
Credit is Life, yes. Write that down. It'll be available on LoneWrangler.com. $10. It's worth $1 million because in the book, I give access, you know, instead of charging $3,000 for a 1 hour speaking engagement, I open up, early on. I may be too busy to where I might have to have surrogates taking calls for me, but, you know, the way it is right now, I literally will talk to people for 15 minutes on the phone about their personal situation and wind them up in the right direction call. So I love to help people, and that's where we're headed with LoneWrangler.com, you know, so.
And I'm thinking it would be a good idea to do like a monthly show or something like that, but I cannot commit to anything until I'm done moving. So.
Yeah.
But
are you taking pre-orders on the book?
Pre-orders, yes. I have a pre-order form. You know, I was a guest speaker at a Nigerian fundraiser for their village last month, and they put me at the high table. Do you know what the high table is? That's where the president of the Nigerian town sat. That's where the two mayors of local cities sat. And guess what? That's where Lone Wrangler sat. And one of my bankers was there too. So, you know, I do have some pre-orders. I can scan that form to you, Paul. Maybe, or let me see here. You could request.
Or if you have a Venmo account.
Well, I would like to do is, you know, once it's ready to rock and roll, blow and go.
Right now it's just contact info on an order form, when you're ready to ship, you'll just reach out to them and say, okay, yes, your book is ready.
So what is your email? I'm just going to send you a quick link to my email, and you can say, yeah, I spoke to you, Lone Wrangler, today on Paul's network.
Whatever this is.
Put me down for a pre-order. What's your email?
Mine?
I can forward it to you. I can forward it to you.
Wait.
Yeah, I can forward it to you. I can forward it to you because we've got a bunch of people listening. So, and not that we don't trust a bunch of people, you know, but, you know, it's just easier that way.
So I'm new to this game, you know, I'm about ready to rock the world Lone Wrangler style on the air, but, no, I get that, Paul. Thanks for watching everybody's back there. It didn't even equate. So, yeah, just know, and then, you know, Paul, I tell you what, I mean, I'll get you that pre-order sheet, too. You can just manually fill stuff in and keep track, or however you want to do it. And then once the book is released and it's live, then we can go ahead and let them know where to go and get it. But, yeah, it's a start. It's a start for people. It's hope. It's reality. It's taking responsibility with where we're at and for where we're at and not blaming other people. Who gives a rat's butt, man? Bottom line is, you know, refinancing my ex out of $180,000 in debt and then only to file bankruptcy 2 years later and get divorced. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. You know, we all live, we all learn, and forgiveness is the key to our own happiness. But you have to do it from the heart.
Okay, and so what I'm going to do.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reply to the cover of the book. I'm going to reply to you, and I'm going to carbon copy him. That way, you'll both have each other's email.
So Paul, are you telling me he's going to get to see the pre-release cover of the Credit His Life book?
Yeah, he is.
Dude, you're like one in a billion right now. I mean, you're getting to see this book cover before it's even launched, man.
Yep. Anybody else wants to see it, I can add another email address.
Yeah.
Do you have this gentleman's phone number? He said he talks for 15 minutes. I sure would like a few seconds with him.
Okay. Well, I can throw your email in here with it.
Please.
Okay. All right.
You know my situation. He might have some really good ideas.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, you want it too, Joe? Okay. All right. So, anybody else? Okay.
Thank you.
Ready to launch it. There you go.
Hey, so Paul, what you did is you just sent off the book cover of the credited light book. All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just the book cover.
This book is they don't teach this stuff in school. They don't want us to learn. And I say they. I mean, bottom line is we all know who they are. They're not us.
Right.
And so, you know, it's all about us. We the people, you know, taking control. But before you can take control and win, you have to take personal responsibility. And that's all in the book. And I'm not preaching, but you know, Paul, and I think I told you this, God rest my mom's soul. When I was like 12, my mom said, she called me Billy, okay? I'm William. I could tell you that story too. But so she said, Billy, I don't know what you're going to be when you grow up, either a used car salesman or a preacher. And you know what, Paul? Today I think I'm a little bit of both. So,
yep, I do believe.
I was going to ask if you were a motivational speaker in a previous life.
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And here's the Cliff Note version. I believe God prepares us for who, if we're open to it. I'm not going to start preaching to you, but we all have a calling, right? And I've been afraid to be who I've been created to be for many years. Paul, you've been with me on this journey. I started writing this book in 2002, people. This book is not just something that happened. I started reading. This book has been rewritten 5 times, if not more. And so I am a speaker. I am a teacher. I am an expert on credit, and I'm an expert on life. And that's why my book's called Credit is Life. And so I love to speak. I love to teach. I love to train. And I love for anybody that has an ear and of discernment to hear me talk, I'm there. And I'm really cheap right now. I expect it all.
I'm really cheap right now.
I expect I'll be blessed with my worth here, but you know, I've paid my dues. I've learned a lot, and I've wisdom and experience is what you get for looking for something else in life. And I'm going to tell you one more thing, people, and you can copyright Lone Wrangler on this one. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Life is a series of 2x4s in the back of the head with a few blissful moments mixed in. Copyright Lone Wrangler.
There you go. All right.
Life's hard. Put positive emotions in your head. Don't let evil seep in. Don't put, you know, be positive. As hard as it is, that's where it all begins. You know, take care of yourself. Nobody else is gonna. Mentally, physically, spiritually, you know, do the right thing because it's right. These aren't things I invented. It's just things that I've learned the hard way through my life. And now I share them with anybody that'll listen.
Great job, Bill. I cannot wait to see the advanced copy of the book, Credit is Life. Go to LoneWrangler.com for more information or to reach out to Bill for a pre-order on the book. Should be out in a few weeks. I'm Paul from Logical Thinking. Thank you so much for being with me today. We'll catch you next time. Bye now.